When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
We are children of the world, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Arsenal fared well against one of the big boys. Newcastle bloody well won, and Rooney's coming home.
PT's on the pod, PT's on the pod, everybody now, PT's on the pod, PT's on the pod, Pete Donaldson!
Hello everyone, I might make a calendar month, I might not.
It's a non-southern accent on the pod.
I forgot, yeah, you are all quite southern, aren't you? Pete, I give a little northern flavour to proceedings.
Flavour!
Straight off the plane, tired as hell.
It's going to be a wild one!
Pete's just come back from Japan, his spiritual and sometimes literal home.
Yeah. Yes.
He looks like Oliver Reed on Michael Aspel that time.
Indeed he does.
Jug of vodka and orange in one hand.
I was drinking a lot of this little bottle that you can drink. A lot of the Japanese people, if they know they're going to have a big one, they buy a little bottle of... it's got a picture of a liver on the front.
Oh, no.
And it's supposed to stave off hangovers. I can confirm that it fucking doesn't.
An early swear from Pete Donaldson there.
Yes, hello everyone. Thank you for letting me back on the podcast. It's changed so much.
That's all right.
We've had new games, new clothing. Luke's growing his hair a little bit more. We've got cameras in the studio.
Until we get the key off you, we can't stop you coming.
Yeah, DJ, yeah. But no, Jim and a Duke as a collective, Jim and Luke.
That's our rap.
Jewish Jim.
Yep,
he's back.
They outvoted me, and so you're back. let's move on to the Premier League, shall we? Arsenal. They got a goal and a draw against Liverpool. A good match at the Emirates. They went toe-to-toe, Jimmy baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very entertaining. It was enjoyable to watch. And
did you find it enjoyable to watch even when Arsenal were a goal behind?
Yes, because there was something that felt different about it. It didn't feel like the stadium went, oh, for God's sake, like it has done so much in the past, God knows even how long. There was patience, and the fans were behind the team. The fans were amazing. Like, it was really, really loud. It can happen. It does happen sometimes. And Emery made the point of that, and a few of the players did as well. And that's obviously a useful sort of weapon.
Do you detect a wind of change, to quote the Scorpions?
Very much so. I'd like to see you quote the Scorpions more often.
But Jim, do you think the idea of this atmosphere there, and despite about 20 minutes or so, them going a goal behind. Mm. And it was, obviously the first half was 0-0 and all the rest of it. Do you think the way that Unai Emery conducts himself in comparison to how Arsene Wenger did plays into that? Because Emery lives everything. He kicks every ball. He's up and down.
Absolutely.
He's clapping his hands. Yeah. I think people, from my experience of being in football stadiums, home Partizan home fans that really like that. Yeah. And I think he's really tapped into something
there. Yeah, and I mean we've seen him behave like that throughout the season, but it felt like he actually rose to the occasion as well. He was more animated than we've seen him, just because this game, I suppose, means more and is the first kind of first game that you can view as a really fair test of what he's trying to do, given that Chelsea and Man City were so early on in the season. So yeah, I was just impressed with the way they played. It was a fantastic goal from Lacazette, and the ball from Iwobi as well hasn't had a lot of credit from what I've seen.
He's been so good this season.
He really has as well. It's the fact that as you a drum that you bang yourself quite a lot, Luke, was that Wenger got to a point where he wasn't improving players, and we're seeing that already with Emery Xhaka as well. The tackle that Xhaka made on Mo Salah was absolutely superb.
The Jackal.
Him and Torreira both played well, actually. And
they suit each other.
Yeah, I think so.
A mistake from Leno for the goal, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shame. But, you know, still early days.
Well, we're just all sort of going, oh, well, the Petr Cech isn't very good anymore. Oh, let's give it to Leno. Oh, God.
No. Start them both.
We talked last week, I think it was, about how the role that goalkeepers are now being asked to play means that they're going to make more mistakes, and those mistakes are by their nature going to be quite high.
And the coaches that coaches these players aren't used to playing as sweeper keepers necessarily either, are they? They're not used to being these ball playing. So there needs to be a different kind of coaching method towards.
You're about to advertise your new sweeper keeper academy.
Exactly. Pete Donaldson's sweeper keeper academy. Come and watch me. I've got big hands and even bigger legs.
And your appendage, of course.
don't forget that.
Is the academy in Japan?
That's what I'm doing. I'm setting up businesses.
And Fernando Torres teaming up.
On Thursday, we talked about Ando.
The Yakuza have spent so much money on this project. I'm in big trouble.
Allegedly.
Andros Iniesta. I don't think we're going to get sued by the Yakuza. That's a fairly
bold move.
We might get sued by Pete.
That's fine. Yeah. That's
I'm a member now.
I've got a file that big on Donaldson.
Yeah.
I've got four fingers.
We talked on Thursday. I've actually got one of Pete Donaldson's fingers in the file.
Is that right?
We talked on Thursday about how Liverpool should or maybe will approach this. And I was convinced they were going to see how slow Arsenal have started in a lot of these games.
On this
unbeaten run, Liverpool were going to try and blitz them. But what actually, if you take the game as a whole, what actually transpired was that Arsenal had quite a lot of the ball. Mm. Liverpool played on the break, which you can sort of understand. But I wonder whether Klopp gave Arsenal quite a lot of respect going into this game, saying they're at the Emirates. And you pointed out, Marcus, last week when I said that Arsenal's home record is very good. So maybe they won't do that because of the respect. And you're absolutely right. I wonder whether Liverpool would have got more joy. I know they're unlucky with one or two decisions, but whether they would have got more joy had they just taken it to Arsenal, just taken them to task and see what they were made of, particularly defensively.
Yeah. Well, what was interesting was, you know, we've been saying before that Arsenal was starting slowly and need to just sort of come out of the blocks a bit faster, but they very pointedly did at the weekend. Clearly, it was get at Liverpool straight away, just hit them full throttle to start with. And it helped because it sort of, Arsenal managed to disrupt Liverpool's rhythm quite a bit, which you don't see that many teams do. It was a really interesting ding-dong of two teams that are both comfortable on the ball and hitting on the break.
Yeah.
So more.
It was a great game,
it was. Yeah. And when you say about, excuse me, Arsenal upsetting Liverpool's rhythm and so on, you know, much has been made of Lucas Torreira and his emergence. You know, he played very well for Sampdoria last season. Arsenal, everyone thought, oh, this is a good player, you know, and he's proven that. And I sort of think every team probably needs a Uruguayan midfielder.
Yeah, he's absolutely fantastic.
I couldn't believe my luck when I saw the rumours linking us with him. Didn't know anything about him. Uruguayan defensive midfielder?
Yes please. Yeah. They say we're a bit soft at the court. We're not now. We're not now.
It was £26 million, whatever it was. Very, very well spent. He looks fantastic. He looks really good. Screening the back four. He's small, but he's tenacious. He's small in stature, of course, but obviously quite tough in the tackle. Mm. And the one thing about him is, He has that balance of being defensively very, very solid. He sees danger. He can tackle quite well. But every single thing he thinks about when he's got the ball at his feet is forward. Mm. He looks forward. And a lot of the time, you don't find players in that position doing that all the time. A very, very sort of common criticism of someone playing that position is, oh, they play the ball square. They
sideways
play the ball
passes.
Yeah. Whereas he's very, very positive within that role, which is actually quite a rare thing at that top level, I think.
I think you're right. If you get a player there who is responsible with the ball and they get it, and as soon as they get it, they're thinking forward or at times direct, because that's perfectly legitimate way of playing. And then you think, okay, nothing's on, then the sideways pass. Whereas if it's the first one is the sideways pass, as I say, fans can get a bit annoyed.
It just needs to be, what it is, I think, is a bit of humility. It's a bit of, this is my job. I can win the ball, I can screen the back four, I can see danger. in Torreira's case, in that game particularly, he's got Aubameyang, Ozil, Mkhitaryan and Lacazette in front of him.
A lot of...
They're all creative players. So give them the ball as quick as you can. Yeah. That's what you've got to do. And more often than not, they're going to be in front of you. Uh-huh. And that's why he plays so positively. And it works well. And you know, I thought it was a game of great quality and I really enjoyed watching it.
Do you reckon Liverpool were disrupted slightly by that horrible Mo Salah statue that they've...
Yeah, created? Possibly, yeah.
I mean, that would have been sure preying on my mind.
Did they see that before or after the game?
Let's hope for their sake that they've not seen it at all. truly terrifying.
Is it up there with the Ronaldo bust?
I think it's more bizarre.
It's more bizarre. Yeah.
The Ronaldo one's quite enjoyable.
Ronaldo's one's just a poorly rendered face,
but which is quite enjoyable.
Me and Luke both said the exact same thing. Leo Sayer. It looks like Leo Sayer.
I feel like
it does not make me feel like dancing.
But will eventually be a sort of market for a museum with all of these in them?
Do you not think these people do them deliberately?
Yeah, I wonder.
Just to get isn't everyone a troll nowadays? Isn't everyone a bloody Piers Morgan?
It seems like a lot of work to try and go viral on football blogs for a bit.
Yeah, you're not going to get anything from
that. I'm going to make
a statue of a footballer and see if we can't get it, I don't know, around the world.
If there are any artists or the like listening, whatever talent you've got, do it a bit less.
There's only one artist I acknowledge.
Pete Donaldson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's an artist.
Formerly known as.
Some wags might suggest that the statue of Mo Salah has actually been playing for Liverpool a couple of times this season. But
naughty.
I couldn't possibly comment.
Yeah, that would be a silly thing to do.
A loaded comment from Luke Miller.
Milner played well, by the way.
He did play. Of course he does.
Yeah, this goal. I tell you what, if you wanted one person on that opportunity...
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
What chance in percentage terms did he have of blazing that over the bar? I'd say it's less than 1%. Mm. He's the most reliable human being that's ever existed
in
football.
He hit it hard and it bounced off the ground probably two or three times before going
in the net. To make sure. Yeah.
It's a tricky one. You can't save them.
No.
Can't save them.
No.
Good old Jamesy Milner. Right, let's move on to Newcastle United. They won.
Yay!
They won.
Yes. That's why
Pete Donaldson
back.
On his way home.
Summoned you back.
I saw a headline, Peter, in one of the papers that said...
What? I didn't do it. What? No.
Well, I'm glad you denied it because it said something about Newcastle fan tries to get at Mike Ashley, security had to intervene.
Yes,
and I thought, I think he's still in Japan.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
Okay.
I think, but I was taking time off until they won, but they finally won.
But Pete, what did you make
after a rather poorly observed minute silence? I thought the Newcastle fans
really?
Themselves down there. A few people started clapping, and then everyone started clapping.
Well, no, to be fair to them, the some people do the clap now, don't they, in the minute silence.
Yeah, not in a minute silence,
though. No, they do. No, some people do, because I think in Italy, traditionally, they used to do clapping throughout a minute silence, and that has filtered around.
It's just bizarrely observed.
But I suppose it's
poorly...
I disagree with you, because I think with a minute silence when it's all quiet, you will inevitably get the odd dickhead that shouts.
Oh, that didn't happen in the other stadiums, though. They were quite well observed.
It managed to happen in pretty much every other stadium, and they managed to observe a minute silence. Everyone got a bit confused and just started clapping.
Yeah, but I think it's
just a bit sad.
No, but I think it's confusion. I don't think anyone's being a dickhead there, because sometimes you are clapped.
I don't think there's dickheadery. I just think it's just poorly observed, just weird.
Yeah, I suppose basically you couldn't enjoy Newcastle winning and keeping a clean sheet. You had to say that something.
I thought they were fantastic. I think they rode their luck. And
fair to say.
There was a lot of attempts on Dubravka's goal, but I think a great defence will always keep you from the very foot of the table. But if you can't score, you're in
a little
bit of trouble as well.
But Pete,
I mean, our top scorer last season was Perez with 8 and Dwight Gayle with 6, I think.
But what do we always say about Benitez teams? Even though after 11 games here, Newcastle are struggling badly, we know that, struggling to score goals. We always say they never get battered. And if you look at their goal difference, it's far better than all the other teams around them already.
It gives you a platform, doesn't it?
Because
you need the ball.
Exactly. But one of the big stories coming at the back end of last week, Pete, where you were away, was that not only has Jamal Lascelles signed a new contract, which you'd understand would be beneficial for everyone, because if he does move, they'll get a bigger fee for him, but at the same time, he gets a pay rise. But the comments he made about Mike Ashley have been seen as quite controversial, saying he thought he was a great guy and people need to just concentrate on the football. Have you seen that story?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
What do you make of that?
Well, I think his deal, I think it only adds another year to his deal, and I think it was just improved conditions financially for him, I think, because obviously...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Like Wilfred Zaha, basically,
yeah,
in the season. Yeah.
Obviously in that, maybe there is a agreement that you make a statement. But if you're the captain of the club, there's no point in screaming about the lack of transfer activity. It probably was the right thing to say at the time. I don't like it. Probably a fair proportion of the Newcastle fans don't like it, but you know, he's the captain of the club and he's trying to unite a whole city on his own.
In the press conference, Benitez
and organise a defence.
Benitez massively undermined as well, because someone asked Benitez about Jamal Lascelles' comments, and then Benitez went, "Well, he's only met him once."
I mean, that is true. Yeah. That is true.
Was that when they went for dinner recently?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
That's the only time, apparently.
Because he's dealt with him on the phone and stuff.
To a man. I'd probably like to go drinking with Mike Ashley. He looks like a
fun
guy.
Yeah, you have a fun time.
He voms in blooming fireplaces.
Is that
who
fun?
Who doesn't love a bit of that? It's funny seeing a billionaire do it.
Hang on. Who doesn't love a bit of that? If you're in a pub and there's a nice fireplace and everyone's a good time, you're thinking, this evening is incomplete unless someone does a sit.
No, that's not the whole story.
I want to smell burnt sick.
If Mike Ashley totters in... flashing his wallet around, looking generous, there's no way you're going, you know what, I might call it a night now. No. You're sticking around to see what happens. No, I mean, you don't go straight to him throwing up in the fire.
And you don't know the full story because someone did say to him, Mike, will you do us a favour and put the fire out?
Yeah.
So he said yes.
Yeah, all right, then. Bloody hell, Mike.
Yeah. Your vomit is famously fire retardant.
Yeah. He vomited out a load of that foam.
Yeah.
He
bombed up foam.
Oh, sorry, I thought it was an electrical fire.
He's like one of those birds that attack things. Yeah. Sick.
Yeah, so... There we are.
It was a very instinctual header from Perez.
It was a nice predictable hero, Iosi Perez, once again. Ladies and gentlemen, excellent.
Not once again.
Well, once again. He was the top scorer for Newcastle last season.
That was his first one this season. He's been dreadful.
Yeah, but last season. Let's not forget last
Marcus
season.
Marcus is a striker by trade. He's never part of the strikers
you
union.
You are absolutely right. Yeah. Absolutely.
But did you see that goal I scored in 2015?
Further back than that.
Yeah. Nicholas Bentner's gone down. Speaking of men who've scored goals in the past.
Punching a cab driver. Yeah. He's appealed it, though, I think.
He has appealed, so he's not inside.
Don't think so.
At the time of recording.
No. Very wise-esque.
He might be in the house.
It's actually very wise, you think about it. Do you get it?
What?
Attacking taxi drivers.
Why is it?
He really should stay away from taxis, but no, this is not the first time he's got in trouble with that, is it?
No. He's not going to take public transport, is he, Jim? Let's be honest.
He's the greatest footballer of all time.
According to himself. Let's move on to Cardiff versus Leicester City. A great win for Leicester, considering all that's happened.
Yeah.
Incredible that they managed to pick themselves up and get a win. And there were really great scenes of celebration when Damari Gray scored for Leicester. And at the end of the game, you could really see just what it meant to them and so on. And of course, you know, it doesn't change what happened and so on and so forth. But it was good to see. And they played well and they got their win.
I cannot imagine what was going through those Leicester.
I know.
Yeah, it's difficult.
And dignity is such a hard... Yeah. So it's such a rare thing in football sometimes, and I think the way that the club and the city have kind of over the past week sort of dealt with things has just been insane. Credit to Cardiff as well; they were incredible hosts at a very difficult time in a very difficult football match.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Warnock said after the game it was a difficult one to try and sort of get the players up for it. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. It was difficult to approach it. You know,
he has found it difficult to approach a lot of the games this season.
I was going to say, I was thinking to myself, you only lost 1-0. It didn't work out. You know.
I found that. I obviously had an eye on the game because of everything that's gone on, and I knew that the Leicester City players were going to be flying to Thailand that evening.
Yeah,
So, an incredibly professional job by them to put that to one side and to get, you know, put in a decent performance and get the win. I'm not sure if it could have been forgiven for having your mind elsewhere because they're professionals there to do a job. And Claude Puel's comments, which I'm sure you'll come onto, were quite interesting, but. There's a difference between actually thinking that and being able to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then they were able to do that well. Good for them.
And people were a little bit upset that the referee Lee Probe booked Gray for having a message under his shirt. And it's one of those ones where it's kind of, you know, I think...
I just think it's a bit of a non-story, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's an emotive subject, but I think getting upset about it sort of denigrates the strength the club has kind of...
Of course.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And also, did you see Probert's face? He did it.
Yeah, he clearly didn't want to do it, but it's, you know, it's freedom of expression that's, for better or worse, covered by the rules.
Exactly.
You know, I didn't see the Borough fans getting, you know, giving Jez McLean much leeway for his own kind of things that he...
Well, that's a very different story.
I'm not equating the two, but
and I think
that isn't covered by the rules. You know what I mean? So you don't have to wear a poppy, et cetera, so
of course, yeah.
I'm not equating the two, but you could see the face of the referee. He didn't want to do it, you know?
Yeah, but it's the... I mean, I think Claude Puel just summed it up very eloquently and said, we played like professionals and it was important for the referee to be professional too. And that's it. Boom, done. The
referee's got his job to do.
He did it.
He did it, exactly. Yeah, there's no... I dare say that Damari Gray knew he would have got booked.
And we'll be fine with it.
Yeah. Mm. There we go.
Indeed. All right. After the break, we're going to talk about Spurs and Manchester City. See you in a moment.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
I'm going to go and eat some golf balls, and I might put Gary's head on one of them.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's now time for emails with PTD. He's back in the chair.
Hello.
Jim was excellent in your absence, but you're back.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate the barrage you get, though.
Yeah. It's a
don't turn on me.
I'm not turning on you.
I wanted to keep Jim in the because for me as a manager, I want Jim if he's playing well, he should keep his place. Mm. It's like Guendouzi under Emery.
Yeah, but then you know, luck can go for people. You know, where Malty's jaw. He came out of nowhere.
Yeah, true.
You know, that fell in his lap, really.
No, I think Jim made that opportunity himself.
Do you reckon?
I
honestly thought you were going to say there, Pete. Yeah, but form's temporary, class is permanent.
Which wouldn't be relevant to Pete, weirdly.
Yeah.
I think so. hello to Tomo. All of this talk of Malty's jaw. I'm continuing the theme, Jim, if that's all right.
And it's other
refereeing shenanigans brought to mind an incident from my own Sunday league days some years ago. It was a cup game between two pub teams in Rugby, as in the town. The appointed ref had failed to show, so a random friend of the other team who was hanging about kindly agreed to officiate. He did a pretty good job overall, but then an odd incident occurred in the final few minutes. As we prepared to take a corner, we realised the ref was down the other end of the field in heated conversation with some passerby, one of whom was walking a dog. It became apparent that the ref and the dog walker had some serious unfinished beef, which they had now decided to revisit, with insults being traded back and forth. Our ref proceeded to start throwing rocks from the side of the pitch at the dog walker, who in turn responded by, I kid you not, pulling a machete from his trousers and giving chase. At this point, chaos descended. Another player ran to his nearby flat and returned brandishing a golf club. Surprisingly enough, no one was hurt. It eventually all died down. Someone else stepped in to referee the final few minutes, and we scraped a 2-1 victory. So there we go. Thank you for that, Tomo.
That
pretty
is
big stuff.
Pretty serious.
Yeah. Steve Slugger Hoof.
Little Slugger.
Little slug. Dear Forza Ramble, your chat on the Pitch Invaders and Halloween Masks got me reminiscing about my time as a lad watching Peterborough United at London Road. Every home game, eccentric keeper Fred Barber would run out with the team and sink to his knees in front of the London Road faithful, worshipping them whilst wearing a Freddy Krueger mask. Very bizarre, but I do remember going nuts with the rest of the crowd. Absolute low league 90s folk hero. Here's a snap of him coming out at Wembley at a playoff game. This is what he wore at Wembley.
Oh, wow. That's not Freddy Krueger.
I think he's changed it up. Wembley.
It's a bad guy from Poltergeist, that is.
Is it? Yeah.
Well, it's an old man's mask. It's basically Sven, isn't it, really?
Yeah. No, it is not.
It is basically Sven. Isn't.
Don't say that when Marcus is around. That's out of order.
Genuinely upset there.
No, it's just factually incorrect.
Marcus, if he's had a go at Sven again, that's out of order.
Yeah. Indeed, yeah.
Speaking of factual incorrectness, Dave, loving the new game, Luke. Unfortunately, I have to be that guy. He signed in July 06, but returned to Atalanta the following month, having never played a game.
Who, Christian Vieri? Mm. Well, he signed for them. One of his clubs, weren't
they?
Yeah,
I don't understand why. Yeah.
Not both,
yeah.
Mate.
Yeah. Thank goodness for going for gold.
You see what they like?
Yeah, I know.
Bye for now. Mark Ridley, hi all. On Monday's pod, you briefly discussed professional football and cricketers. Can I draw your attention to one such player who holds a unique record? This player being Chris Balderston. He was a professional cricketer for Leicestershire and the footballer for, amongst other clubs, Doncaster Rovers. As recently as 15th of September 1975, Bolleston was playing a three-day county match at Derby. He finished batting at the end of the day two on 51, not out. I don't really understand cricket. At the close of play, he changed into his football kit, drove 30 miles to Doncaster and played in a league match that evening against Brentford. It finished 1-1.
That's impressive.
After the game, he returned to Derby and the following morning carried on batting to score a century.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Bolleston had a first-class cricketing career spanning 25 years, then became an umpire and a professional football career lasting 20 years and over 500 games. Last dual professional footballing cricketer was probably Andy Gorham, playing for Rangers in Scotland at cricket.
There we go. Wow.
That's class.
Mark, even hearing about that makes me tired.
Ian Botham famous play for Scunthorpe as well, I think.
Yeah. It was Scully.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
there we are.
Oh, I've got a special announcement around a supplementary section to the
Luke
email.
Luke is pregnant.
You got a jingle for that or not? I'm pregnant, yeah.
Luke is pregnant with news.
And I'm going to reveal which of the three of you are the father.
Ah, after this.
Could be any of the three of us.
Yeah, it could be.
The way you carry on.
I've got a special announcement courtesy of a Mr. John O'Reilly. You'll like this guy.
John O'Reilly.
He's currently the head coach of Armadale Soccer Club in Perth, Western Australia. Armadale are looking for a new striker and they've come to the Ramble community for help.
It's too far for me to travel.
Well, let me tell you the offer.
Okay.
Let's talk about the package. I want my 15%, so you've got to go.
Yeah. Finalised deal.
So Armadale Soccer Club play in the National Premier League in Western Australia. The NPL is the tier below the A-League.
Right,
so,
second tier.
Yeah, each state, so whether it be New South Wales or Queensland or WA, have a Premier League in the country. He says, and this is, I'll just hand over to John now, who says, Armadale Soccer Club is predominantly a British club. We're an unfashionable club built on great work ethic, blood, sweat and tears. Teams hate playing us and they're coming to our ground due to the atmosphere created by the Brunchies, our small ultras
the
group.
The Brunchies!
Who start drinking at brunch time.
He says,
we did a Leicester last season, overachieved by winning the State Cup, a feat nobody thought we could have done. We're semi-pro. There's a small wage when you play. And he says, I also operate Macron WA, which I think is a sports shop. And I have a 6-month job for our visa player to allow him to live and experience beautiful Western Australia with some of the best beaches in the world. Pre-season starts late November. Pre-season competition starts mid-Jan and the season starts mid to late Feb and runs till August. You only need a working holiday visa to go over. They're the WA, like I said, State Cup champions. And Perth is, by all accounts, a beautiful city and the players successful will no doubt have an amazing time. If you think you're good enough to fit the bill and you really need to have played at a decent standard here, I'm afraid, Marcus.
Hang on.
send an email, including your football CV, to show@thefootballramble.com with I want to be a socceroo in the title. Yeah. And we'll make sure we'll pass on to John and we'll see if we can find him a striker in time for the new season. What about that?
I'll do it.
You seem Bolt, not interested, yeah, mate.
I wonder if...
Nelly,
if
you had your chance.
But Nelly Yoa.
Yeah, I think they need to be a player at a good standard, mate.
Right, exactly. Okay. Well, yeah. I've heard he's had a very interesting
stellar career.
Yeah, so there you go. Show@thefootballramble.com with I want to be a socceroo in the title to go and play as a striker for John O'Reilly's Armadale Soccer Club.
Surely John O'Reilly, he can do better than using us as agents.
Let's see. Leave no stone unturned.
Love it.
In your quest. He's the Barry Fry of Australian football.
He's the Barry Fry.
Love that.
Right, gentlemen, back to the Premier League. And Tottenham Hotspur got a win in Wolverhampton. An interesting debut for the young Argentinian at the back for Spurs.
Yeah, 1-4.
Yeah, he gave away two penalties, but Pochettino was quick to say, no, he's an excellent player. And he does look like he's got bags of potential. Slightly sold up the river by the recklessness of Kieran Trippier.
On both occasions,
But it was a bit... It's a shame because we should be talking about this young man with a lot of potential and so on, but yeah, he did give away two
pens. He was
pens.
Absolutely imperious against West Ham in the Cup. Yeah. He was fantastic. He looked... As we were saying the other, probably yesterday, I think, on WhatsApp, he was fantastic outside of those two penalties, but that's got a bit of the... You know, apart from that, how did you enjoy the theatre, Mrs. Lincoln? You know, that type of thing. But I do agree with you guys on the second penalty where he's massively sold at the river. The first one, Trippier tries a backheel nutmeg in his own right back position, which I imagine Pochettino would have been very upset about.
Yeah,
but
he's got three lines in his head still.
Yeah, quite, exactly, yeah. the Wolves striker's gone away from goal when Forth comes in quite late and takes him out. I don't know if he necessarily needed to make that challenge.
It was a bit Chris Smalling.
It was a little bit. Had a bit of the Smalling about. And there is no worse criticism than that for a player
Smalling.
At a top club.
Poor old Smalling.
Is Trivia's form this season just all about
he's
people?
Been awful. Okay.
Well, it's because he had such a good World Cup. It can't be tiredness. Every player can't be tired. But is it just the focus on him? People just seem to be marking up with him.
Maybe.
Because he was all right against Fulham when we went to see him. Because Fulham just didn't give a shit.
I was going
to
say that. I mean,
I've seen him play a few times this season. I've not ever really been impressed with it. Against Man City, he was dreadful. Mm. He was dreadful. But, you know, Spurs are an interesting case. It's a curious situation there because they have a lot of these players who've gone deep in the World Cup. And that is going to have an effect, Pete. I understand what you're saying. Mm. But the second point is that because of this stadium thing, they played a horrendous amount of away days. Yep. I mean, they've played eight away games already or something. Yeah.
Remarkable that they're still, well, they're fourth, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, a handful of points off the top.
And they've signed no players. Yet at the same time, they've had their best start to the Premier League.
So. Yeah. I know.
And also, what I find really interesting about this situation is how, and there was a little bit of this with Jamie Carragher last week, so Spurs seem to be being really criticised for having to pay for the stadium.
Well, yeah.
Steal one?
Like,
what way around that? It's there for them.
But we're seeing a massively... hugely biased towards the top clubs Premier League this season, like we've never seen before.
Yeah.
I was reading yesterday.
Tell it to Bournemouth, mate.
I'll come on to them in a moment. Chelsea and Liverpool are on 27 points after 11 games. For every single season for the last 98 years, that would be enough to be top.
Yeah.
Mm. Man City are top with 2 points more. That's how good Man City are. And I don't know the exact stats, I've not got it in front of me, but the top five teams, I think it's the top five, have taken something like 115 out of 120 odd points against teams in the bottom 14 or 15 or whatever it is. It's a huge top heavy Premier League season, the likes we've never seen before.
There was also a stat match of the day yesterday. The top three are still unbeaten, which is the first time, the second time in history, I think, in the top flight. That's ever happened.
Crazy.
Yeah. Amazing.
Someone's got to give.
Man United aren't a part of it though.
No, they're not. No. They're absolutely not. But Marcus, you're right to point out Bournemouth. I mean, they obviously were beaten at the weekend
by those Manchester United,
unfortunately, because they started off very well.
But going to Spurs, funny one, because they were dominant in the first half, 3-0 up, and that's the thing that
they're 3-0 up after an hour, weren't they?
They shouldn't have
to kind of bring players on at 3-0 because they're going, oh my god, we're in big trouble. It's crazy.
You know, Lamella was excellent, and
Lamella's that 1-2 he played, I forget who it was with for the first goal, was it maybe Christian Eriksen? It took the took half of Wolves' team out. Yeah. It's such a simple move. It's beautiful.
Him and Moore, from what I've seen, him and Moore have been their best players this season. They have been fans. Lamella's, I think, for the first time, I think, for a while, because that's serious. He had a hip injury. He was out for a year, wasn't he?
It was a long time.
I think he's a decent pre-season. He knows his role now, and he's really coming into his own. I think he's at his best goal return already.
Yeah.
In a Spurs shirt for a season, so he's doing very well.
But not too comforting, you know, if you're 3-0 up. And then they have to see the game out at 3-2. But we've got to mention Morgan Gibbs-White, who looked excellent when he came on for João Moutinho. So pretty big shoes to fill, you know, coming on. And he was a starter in the Under-17 World Cup final for England, of course. I think he even scored in the final as well. But they were talking about him on Match of the Day, and you saw the type of player he was, and you think, oh, hello, one of those players.
Getting to Germany.
Yes.
We've got loads of them now.
I
think I've got loads of them now, haven't we?
Yeah, I think we do.
We've got a few. I mean,
when is it? 2020. Well,
and that's why we're bringing Wayne Rooney back.
later. Don't jump ahead.
I dropped my bottle early there, haven't I? Couldn't resist it. Get a bit of Wazza in there.
Indeed. We want Gibbs White in there. We want to see, we would enjoy seeing Barkley. We want to see more of Loftus-Cheek. See all these players. Mm. Get them ready for the Euros.
Yeah.
And then it will be ours. Okay, let's move on to Manchester City. A big win against Southampton. The story of the game, of course, Southampton ended the goal drought.
They did.
Southampton are concentrating on the new Euro Super League, which they will no doubt be invited to.
Yeah, I'm not convinced they'll be.
Good Lord, they were dreadful at the back.
Imagine Mark Hughes at the end of the game. So, Pep, what do you reckon about the Super League?
Do I get an invite to the party? Oh.
How do you know about it?
You know Steve Grant, who is a friend of the Rambles, follows Southampton and England, home and away. Mm. He tweeted shortly after the full-time result against Man City, and if you are of a delicate disposition, press the mute button.
Here we go.
Bin. All of you cunts, get in the bin. Fuck them all off. Hashtag Saints FC. So he's made his feelings quite clear.
Yeah, I mean, Man City were great, but Southampton were piss poor.
Yeah, it was a perfect storm, wasn't it? We've seen some shellackings in the Premier League, but there were a couple of examples of like, it was like, It was like the whole game was taking place in Southampton's box. It was just pick their way through at will. It was like they all just looked lost and confused.
Their
and
defending
sad.
Was so bad. They made Man City look shit at times. That's how bad their defending was the box. They just kept dropping.
What? Because you're thinking Man City should be having 20 goals.
Yeah. That passage of play where Man City had the ball in the box for ages and eventually they got a foot in. And I appreciate what
they made Man City look bad. Yeah. Then I thought because they were just kind of whiffing the ball at the defenders' well, it was legs because they couldn't get it out.
So you know when a player goes down and they're saying put the ball out and people go, are we still playing? There was an element of that going on
for
90 minutes. Although oddly, if you look at the stats, I think Southampton had about 12 shots on goal.
It's the most City have had against them, which is mad.
Yeah, exactly. And they might have had another goal as well, but goodness.
I mean, let's be fair. I know it's not going to mean much to people listening coming from me because everyone knows I support Portsmouth. Mm-hmm. But Southampton are an awful team. Mark Hughes is not a very good manager.
The point that Newcastle won against them was an embarrassment.
Luke, are you looking forward to the South Coast derby next season in the Championship?
I don't think Portsmouth are going to get relegated, are they?
Hey.
No, yeah, of course I am. If it happens, that'd be great. I think Portsmouth have got a really good chance of getting promoted. Southampton, you just don't know in the Premier League.
You feel like Southampton have got a really good chance of getting relegated?
Yeah,
I do phrase it that way.
You know, Mark Hughes, it takes a little bit of time to get going, doesn't it?
Well, how long is Hughes going to be there if it carries on?
Well, this is, I mean, it looks like they're going to have to make a decision on that sooner rather than later, because it's not just the fact that they're not getting points on the board. It's the manner of it. Like, that just, he looks so frustrated, and understandably, because they were just embarrassed.
But Danny Murphy said something interesting on the telly yesterday. Obviously he's played under Mark Hughes. And he said, he showed the analysis of how Southampton set up against City and how they implemented their game plan or whatever. And he said, I'm sorry, I've worked with Mark Hughes. I can't believe he's asked them to play like that. Yeah. I don't believe that he's told them to play a high line but not press the ball. Mm. You know, if you want it, the two ways of approaching it are play a back four and a five and just sit deep and try and frustrate
Benitez.
Them. Or you press. And they're doing neither of those things. And I don't think Mark Hughes told them to do that. So essentially, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but implying that they're not playing for it.
I think they just lost their heads very early. If you're getting blitzed like that, and you're very, very aware that the team that you're playing are just that much better than you.
Yeah.
I think it's, it's the Mike Tyson thing, isn't it? It's like, everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face.
Exactly. Absolutely right. The thing, that's true. Yeah, that is true. The thing that would concern me about Southampton, though, if I was in a position to care what happens to them.
Unbelievable.
Their model is they bring these players through and they sell them on for big money. Mm. Yeah, a new player comes through on the production line and they do, and that's how it works, isn't it? That's what's kept them in the Premier League. It's hard to think of a player or two that are coming through and making a real difference for them at the moment. It appears that it might have dried up. If that's the case, I mean, they're in big trouble.
Big trouble. Sergio Aguero scored his 150th Premier League goal. Oof. Only Alan Shearer, predecessor for Alexander Mitrovic, reached 150 goals in the Prem quicker than Aguero.
I think he's the only Thierry Henry and Wayne Rooney have scored more for a single club in the Premier League. Is that right?
That is correct, Luke Moore. That is correct. You just got to mention these things because, I mean, I know that when you talk about Messi and Ronaldo's all these records and so on, but Aguero's just been such a phenomenal servant for Man City.
We've said this before on the show. Like, it does feel like he's somehow slightly underrated.
Yeah.
Perhaps it's because he's grown as City have grown. So he wasn't perhaps viewed as sort of, like, if he moved to a club now, it'd be a huge signing for anybody, but he's sort of just been there for so long.
Yeah, and also you can make, I know City are a proud club and they're a big club and they've had some great players over the years, but there is a feeling that they're making a lot of their history now. Mm-hmm. And you could, I'm sure, there's plenty out there who know more about it than I do, but you could probably make an argument to say that a couple of these players, Kompany, Silva, Aguero particularly, arguably some of Man City's best ever players.
Yeah, Toure as well.
And playing in the best league in the world. I'm not saying that in a kind of Sky Sports kind of way. Aguero's playing at a higher level than Alan Shearer ever did. Let's make that very clear.
Yeah.
So, has he ever scored against Steve Grizovic?
I don't think so.
Has he had the opportunity, though?
Has he had the opportunity?
Roll Steve-O out now. Let's see what happens.
And then we'll see. All right, after the break, we're going to talk about the Championship and the WhatsApp group. See you in a moment.
Jose Mourinho, the man who stole the show. You're the special one, and you're dynamo. Whoa, whoa.
Always a pleasure.
Never gets old.
Always a pleasure. The previous show is out on Thursday. It's happening, people. It is happening. How did our best better get on, Luke?
He's out on his ear.
Yeah.
Both teams did score in the Arsenal-Liverpool game, but Liverpool did not win the game. So we need a new one. Show at thefootballramble.com with I want to be a... No, with best bet in the subject line, and I'll pick another one Thursday. Before I go back to you, Marcus, quick plug for Acast Plus.
Oh, yeah.
For those listening. It's only £1.99 a month if you subscribe through the Acast app. You get ad-free Ramble, so no adverts at all. You get exclusive early access to our Ramble Meet specials before they're available on general release, and you get bonus listener-curated episodes. And the next one of those, I believe, is out next Tuesday for those asking. Mm-hmm. Do check out Acast Plus through the Acast app. Just £1.99 a month. I mean, what can you buy for £1.99?
Bennett.
I mean, there will be ads for my goalkeeping school in it.
Okay.
You can't get rid of those ads.
We'll talk about that later. No, you're baking those into the audio.
Yeah, okay.
I'm looking forward to the listener curated show, the request show, as I like to affectionately.
Because you like to think of yourself as a sort of podcast Mark Goodyear.
A bit, yeah, sort of DJ vibe.
A bit Simon Mayo.
Although, Pete, you're a DJ. You know, you go around and people hand you some pieces of paper.
Some repute.
What do they say on the pieces of paper?
Please stop this.
That's Acast Plus, £1.99 a month through the Acast app. Cheap at twice the price. Go get yourself involved.
Keep yourself
in a studio. Yeah. Keep us in housing and food. Uh-huh. And in Pete's case, funny Japanese-flavoured Kit Kats.
Keep Jim nourished.
Yeah.
Is what I would
say. He's hungry.
Nutritionally as well as intellectually.
Mostly nutritionally.
Yeah. Let's go to the Championship. Big win for Norwich away to Sheffield Wednesday. The Canaries were top of the table until Leeds beat Wigan. Love that.
Yes.
I hadn't seen Norwich top of the table. If they have been top of the table, I just hadn't noticed them because, of course, we were talking about Sheffield United last week and how the top of the Championship changes all the time. West Brom were top the other week. And then suddenly Norwich were there and then Leeds were there, Jim. You just cannot take your eyes off it.
Jim doesn't care. He's mugged you right off.
Jim during his taking his eyes off him. Yeah. Just look at your face.
All right. A point I want to make about Leeds was that in their game at the weekend, they beat, was it Wigan?
Wigan. Yeah,
they
Paul
beat
Wigan Cook's away. Wigan.
Have you seen that video that's been doing the rounds?
Which
about
one?
Them trying to get the ball back? It is unbelievable.
With the,
So Wigan get the ball off Leeds and they hit him on the break. And I don't know who the Wigan player is, but he's driving towards the goal. It's going to sound ridiculous if you haven't seen it.
Sounds
trust
like Maltese
me.
Joe driving towards the
goal. Yeah, yeah. With his feet. There are eight Leeds players busting a gut.
I have seen it.
Sprinting.
Yeah.
And they surround him like a swarm of bees and get the ball back.
Old Goodman. Was it Goodman who was punditing on that?
That's right, yeah.
He was loving it.
Yeah. And that is really what Bielsa does, I suppose. The work they do without the ball is phenomenal. Look it up.
Yeah.
Go on Twitter or whatever social media you use and find it, because it's astonishing passage of play.
And that's why they'll all be knackered by January.
And as I say, they're doing that instead in May. I'll eat my hat.
Do you think that means we could see Bielsa back in the Premier League?
Well, I hope so.
Wouldn't that be big news for us, would it not?
Yeah. I hope so.
It would be quite Bielsa-like, though, if they did get promoted, for him to just go, I'm fed up with this now.
I'm all right in saying that Leeds United on their club shop are selling a Marcelo Bielsa-style bin to sit on for £80?
£80?
£80 seems excessive.
I think so, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
What's wrong with a nice tin bucket like our Woolly?
Yeah, well, exactly.
That's a good point. I can't be 80 quid.
Well, I'm just saying, that's
unless
what I read.
It's made of platinum gold.
Did you see the little boy dressed up as Bielsa?
Yeah, right.
That was very good.
Great, yeah, we did enjoy that. Yeah, so Leeds are top, but Norwich are on the same points, 32nd on goal difference, of course. Four wins on the bounce for those Canaries. I did enjoy Norwich boss Daniel Farke saying after the match, "We are pretty happy with this result and also the performance."
Good.
Pretty happy. Yeah, he's 4-0 away from home.
Improvement to
pretty
go.
Fly.
Exactly. You see, keep them on their toes. And, you know, Paul Lambert, he's got to get Ipswich. They need to be aware of where their toes are.
On their feet?
Again.
Just on their feet.
Yeah, get them. Yeah. Heel
start
first.
With the basics.
They need to be on their heels and then on their
get
toes.
Get them off the bones of their arse.
Yeah.
Onto their feet.
Well, they got a point in his first game in charge. They're still 5 points adrift of safety.
I mean, they did get a point, but I mean, the other team.
Yeah, for the last 15 minutes.
Had a striker in goal. Was it a striker? Because I think it was Paul Gallagher, wasn't it?
It was Paul Gallagher who scored, I think, for Preston.
He came on, scored, went in goal, and made quite a good save towards the end.
Yeah, it was for the cameras, but still.
Yeah. What we want to see.
It was right at him, but he flicked his legs up in the air and pushed it over the bar.
That's interesting. I approach that quite differently. If there's an outfield player in goal, I don't want to see them do well. I want to see like shots going from everyone.
Yeah,
you approach it more that you want them to suddenly be amazing.
Oh, I want them to pull off wonder saves.
Interesting.
Surely you want to see some goals as well, though. One square under the keeper.
Yeah.
Come on.
No. Shoot from anywhere.
Remember when Vinnie Jones went in at St James's Park once?
I want him to have an incredible day in goal.
No, because you know why Pete wants him to do well? Because he always gets put in goal for his Sunday team. That's
what I do terribly.
Do you? Have you let in some stinkers?
No stinkers, but I am only 5'8".
What's the worst one you've let in? Georgie Kangpos is only 5'7", I think.
He also played up top.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Not for your Sunday team.
So there we go.
It's completed.
And you both wear ridiculous clothes.
That you design yourself.
Which catches the eye, though. Yeah. And is appreciated around the globe. Okay.
Cheers, mate.
So get off his back, ladies and gentlemen.
My tiny back.
Yes, but at least Paul Lambert had a good time. He said the excitement was unbelievable.
The atmosphere
was brilliant and I loved it.
Nice.
Good. Good to see him back. You can't give a good man down, as we always say.
You're not going
to
stay up with 40 draws, so do something about it.
Let's go to the WhatsApp group, everybody. Play that jingle, Petey.
Oh, I forgot about
that's why I said play the jingle, Petey, because I saw that you weren't paying attention.
You have to do a series of sort of signs and gestures.
But if you see it, I've got to find it on this board of many chap.
You got a little jingle for that, Pete? Have you got a little jingle for that, Pete? Have you got a little jingle for that?
No, I've not got a jingle. No, we haven't got a jingle.
For God's sake!
It's the WhatsApp group, everybody. Talking about good men and you can't keep them down. Wayne Rooney will represent England one more time against the US at Wembley. He did miss a penalty for his club in the playoff, or you know, whatever it's called. And
the playoffs, they're out, aren't they?
They're out. They're not going to be challenging for the MLS MLS Cup anymore.
But he single-handedly reversed the fortunes of that club.
I know, it's such a shame.
Excellent.
It's a shame that he was one of, I think, two penalty misses in that shootout, because he has been very, very good this season. And that's why he's back in the England side. It's all on merit.
He's there on
merit. What we're doing.
Yep. Do you get the impression that this has been done over Southgate's head?
Yeah.
Well, isn't it?
Well, okay, I think what it is they're playing the US... They're probably not going to get too many people turning up to Wembley to see a friendly.
It's a decent charity, isn't it?
It's a charity thing. I think that there's a bit of that. And also, the Germans did it with Podolski. I think the Italians did it with Baggio. Why can't the English do it?
I think the Dutch might have done it with Schneider as well.
Really?
But I wonder.
Are the Danish going to do it for Bednar?
Maybe they will, if they get one day release. but I'm sort of torn with this because, you know, I see your point, Jim, about Southgate, and I want, because this is essentially a warm-up game for the Croatian Nations League game, right? Which is an important game.
Yeah, but did you see what we did to Spain?
Yeah, that's true. That's it.
We're already well over.
Fine, yeah.
We've cracked it now, so we're going to bring them all back. But so I wonder whether I guess a large part of it depends on how the manager approaches it. If the manager is going to play Rooney in the number 10 position and build the whole team around him for the whole game,
it'd be brilliant.
That's a joke. Imagine, right? If he's going to go in the squad at the behest of a third or fourth keeper or something, because at some point, I think at one
point, he's not going to go in goal.
No, but Southgate's picked four keepers at one.
Yeah, when the squad is a little bit bigger.
Yeah, so then I guess that's fine if you give him a little send off.
Put him in net.
No, not put him in net. I just feel it's. Do you feel it's a bit of a shame, though?
I know what you mean.
I don't want to sound like an old man, grumpy old man.
I get what you're saying.
For me, an England cap should mean something.
Yeah.
And if you think of all the caps that Peter Shilton, who's the record holder, got, and
he's
Bobby
been
Moore.
Kicking off himself, isn't he?
Yeah.
This exact thing.
And Billy Wright, all these great players from down the years.
David Beckham.
You weren't quite. Well, no, actually, David Beckham less, because he that was at the period when England would play a lot more games.
Ashley Cole.
Stop this.
Well, he's got a lot of England caps.
But what I'm saying is back in the day, the tradition, they used to mean an awful lot. Yeah. You know, I mean, that, again, not to mention Danny Murphy, but he said that in that season that Liverpool won three cups, he was playing, you know, a lot for Liverpool. And at that point, I think he was 23 or 24. He still didn't have an England cap. Now they seem to be dished out all the time.
Yeah.
And if that's part of a wider process that Southgate wants to do with the youth teams bringing them through, I get that. But this flies in the face of that, I think, in my opinion.
I think it's because there's a charity thing against the US... drum up a bit more interest. I think that's probably something to do with it. And if that is, then that is a bit of a shame, because it is a warm-up game.
But if that's the case, Marcus, then should it be counted as a full international? Because you can have testimonials and you can have games that are warm-up games and all the rest of it. Should it count as an actual game?
Soccer Aid.
Yeah, he could go and do Soccer Aid if he wants to do that, raise some money.
It's a bit unfair on the opposition.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, they'd love it. I mean, would they, Jim? Speaking on behalf of the rest of the world at Soccer
Aid. Put the bloke from One Direction in.
Jonathan Wilkes.
Marcus, you can play in that one.
Do you know what? It's about time. I'm kicking on in years, guys. Hurry up.
Yeah.
All right, I've got one good sprint in me per game. Make sure it's an accurate
pass.
That
was always the case.
There we go. Well, you know, Waz will be back. Get them all back. So there we are. Talking of ageing players, Didier Drogba has won another trophy at the age of 40. Scored the winning goal for Phoenix Rising against Orange County to win the Western Conference Championship.
He's been there for a little while now,
hasn't
he?
He has, yeah. He joined in April 2017 and became the co-owner, which apparently makes him, or made him at the time, I don't know if it's still the case, the first ever player owner in the history of football.
What about
incredible?
Was Rivaldo not involved in one of those?
Well, yeah, but he was the first one, according
isn't
to these.
Isn't Jamal Lascelles the new?
Yeah, it's becoming that way,
isn't
it?
So nice about the boss.
Speaking of owners, that club's they play in the division below MLS.
They do, yeah, in the United Soccer League.
That's right.
But they play the Eastern Conference Championship winners this week, so.
Well, they could win another one.
It's the equivalent of the MLS Cup.
Fine.
The age of 40, come on.
That's good, yeah, it's good.
And it's physical, it's fast in America, it's not...
That club's also co-owned by Pete Wentz of Fall Out Boy and Diplo, the DJ.
Yeah, blimey.
They're all getting involved.
Donnie, you've got a share?
I get on with Pete Wentz, because I've interviewed him a few times.
I'll take that as a yes.
Yeah,
he's quite good at soccer as well. I've done keep-ups with him. I'm getting in the. I'm trying to suck up to him. I just want his phone number.
You've got method.
Yeah. This new goalkeeping thing you might be interested in.
Me and Pete Wentz might just get on, that's all. Yeah, we good. Do get on.
Well, he co-owns that club, so get involved if you want.
Well, there you go. Do Gary Neville and Harry Redknapp get on?
We heard him earlier. Harry Redknapp wants to smack his head off a tee at a golf course.
Very, very violent, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Quite unequivocal, really.
There's no need for that, is there?
There's no need for it, but do we enjoy it?
Yes. That's true. Some of you would have seen this, of course, Gary Neville responding to Harry Redknapp, being all angry with him and that. Because if you remember last time we spoke, I think it was on Thursday, that Harry Redknapp had the raving needle.
I love that.
With Gary Neville, which is never a good thing. Yeah, he had the ump. He had the raving needle and all that. And old Red has said that Neville was a terrible manager for Valencia. I mean, we can all agree on that.
Even Gary would agree.
Absolutely. I don't think Gary would put
how
much
you
of an argument.
You're right. Hello. All right. How you doing? Remember that one?
Yeah. That was when he was introduced to all the players.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. You're looking for property in Manchester.
Yeah.
Neville worked it out and helpfully put it on a spreadsheet for all of us that he actually had a better win percentage for Valencia than Redknapp did when he was at QPR and Birmingham City.
I mean, it's not a surprise, is it?
Yeah, well, Neville
he
had
did
a win
percentage. Fire up Excel for this. Somebody must have said
no,
it.
Neville's definitely.
I was going to say,
yeah,
Peter.
No, all over that.
I'm amazed
that there was not more columns.
I bet he used
frankly.
An autofill macro rather than writing his own.
Well, he might have got
Fizzer
to help him.
Forget all snobby on flipping Excel.
I'm just saying.
I know you're just saying.
Let's all
his
agree.
Familiarity with Excel scripts is probably minimal.
I think you're wrong. I think Gary Neville's exactly the kind of guy who would spend the time on pettily filling out a spreadsheet to prove himself right.
Well, he has.
Equals.
No.
Kara would just spit in someone's face. Gary, you get the spreadsheet out. If it was Gary in the car going past that fan, he'd pull out his laptop and go, actually, statistically, I am 48% better than you as a human being.
You make him
off
sound like Al out of Quantum Leap.
It is a bit, yeah.
Why
yeah.
again the Quantum Leap?
Yeah.
It's been what?
They're not going to remake it.
No. They might remake it.
Anyway.
I think they are, aren't
36% win. Percentage.
Chance of saving.
Yeah, Gary Neville had in Spain, whereas old Redders, 34% at QPR and 31% at Birmingham City.
I mean, he's picked his clubs there, though, hasn't he?
Yeah. No, but they were the last two club jobs, I think, unless I'm mistaken.
But that adds to the pettiness so much for me.
It's brilliant.
He knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing. And that involved QPR getting promoted, by the way, which shows you how bad they were in the Premier League.
Do we all hope that this runs and runs?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, wasn't Gary Neville using the laughing emojis when he posted all this? But Harry Redknapp isn't going to be Twitter literate enough to understand that.
Twitter it.
So, yeah, Twitter it, indeed. Yeah. So I don't... Gary's just trolling him here, isn't he?
Who works,
Harry won't
who,
know that.
Harry doesn't have a mobile phone. I don't know how he's read this.
Yeah, who works Redder's Twitter?
Dog.
Is it...
Rosie.
Is it Rosie?
No, Rosie's passed away now. Don't be out of order.
That is out of order.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's passed away.
Oh, yeah, we're going to...
I hope
that.
It runs and runs, though. I'd like to get Fizzer's comments on it.
Fizzer!
What do you reckon Fizzer thinks
Fizzer
about it?
Fizzer's whispers.
Fizzer...
Fizzer's wicked whisper.
Who's Fizzer again?
Phil Neville.
Fizzer would try and defend his brother and then mug him off in the process accidentally. Yeah. And Gary go, what are you doing?
When he first appeared on co-commentary on the BBC and someone much more witty than us said, oh yeah, he commentates like he's in the cupboard and doesn't want to be discovered. I cannot get that out of my mind ever since.
He does, he goes like that. Why you should have done that? He's doing an impression of a commentator. He's at the end of his, he's like a teacher sort of. He's got, listen, I'm not the enemy here. Yeah. I'm just trying to get through the day.
My whisper percentage is 100%.
Pete, you remember when we went to that quiz and old Fizzer was the quiz master?
Yeah.
Quizzer, as we called him.
It was funny because he couldn't name the captain of the women's football team that he was about to go and manage.
Don't flip in. Yeah,
bring it
just
back
saying.
To that.
What? Wicked whispers.
Mr. Pete Donaldson. Mr. Right Donaldson.
The Right Honourable Donaldson.
Wrap this up.
I think we need to go, don't we?
More wicked whispers.
It's been a pleasure, ladies and gentlemen. It's been lovely having Pete Donaldson back. Something we can all definitely agree.
Don't be rude.
We look forward to speaking to you on Thursday for the preview show. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Bye.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Good night.
It's goodbye from me.
was a Radio Stakhanov production.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.